this week's Irish Wolves podcast. They say a week is a long time in politics. Well, last Thursday to Sunday proved that in football, a couple of days isn't even longer. We had the crashing defeat to Arsenal when all the hopes high last Thursday, followed by, unbelievably, a great and fantastic performance against Spurs to win 2-0, following up on Sunday. What a few days it was. And I'm joined this week by Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Tony Cullen to discuss both games. Hope you enjoy it. Good evening, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad.
Hey, Gary.
No one in yet.
Gary's just coming in there now.
Is that a new jacket?
No, I got that ages ago. Do you like it?
Looks like the one you were looking at the other day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I got it a couple of years ago. The old retro, you know. Speaking of retro, Gary's having trouble getting in, I think, is he?
Oh, I think I'm there.
Ah, good stuff. Johnny can't join us. TC, I think, is going to come in. I couldn't think of anyone else because there was only myself and Mick. Well, there was your lads yesterday. I don't know whether I thought you might... If one of them was around, they might be with you this evening, Gary, no?
No, I'd say they both had a tough weekend, I'd say.
Yeah, they looked a little bit like that yesterday, all right, yeah.
Capped off by yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met them in the airport, all right. They arrived in a bit later than I did back in on the way home, you know? So
yeah.
They look shattered.
Yeah.
Happy but shattered.
Yeah.
Went to the airport, pick him up, and made him come straight to the pub and have a pint.
Oh, you'd have to.
Yeah, one of those occasions when you wish you were there.
Yeah, definitely.
Where did you watch it, Gary? Where did you watch it on?
No, that's one of the things. I wasn't a friend of ours. It was 12 month anniversary, passed away from COVID. So we had a church ceremony and that followed by a gathering.
Right.
Family and friends and that, like, and
yeah.
So it was basically the same time as the match.
Yeah.
So yeah, I couldn't watch the game yesterday.
Yeah, I suppose not a lot. You couldn't do a lot about that. I suppose really, before we talk about yesterday, we have to go through the ritual of talking about Thursday night first, you know, and that game against with Arsenal. We did. As you say, we had Tommy and Jacinta with us. Tommy was thinking that the game against Burnley would be the last game to be over, but it was great that he managed to get over Thursday for the game. They were in a great form, Mick, as you found out with Jacinta's joke about you. Great. We were in, I don't know what we say, Gary, we were in Witherspoon's, and we were on the usual crack and banter, and Mick picked up the phone and he goes, "What the fuck?" And like a light, Jacinta was in and said, "What's that, Mick? Your bank balance you're looking at?" Oh, God, I tell you, I couldn't stop laughing for about half an hour afterwards. It was hilarious. Yeah, and then we nipped into McGee's, I suppose, and Mick got his brandy handed to him in a baby sham glass, which was really brought back nightmares or memories, I'm not sure which. Yeah, we had a good evening as usual, building up to the game. We were all thinking great hopes of what was ahead and where we'd be with 3 points in the bag. But I suppose, would you say things took a bit of a downturn when the team was announced and we found out that Moutinho wasn't fit? Mick, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise because he'd been there all season. They keep it fairly quiet when something is wrong, but once he was missing, it was always going to be a little bit difficult to replace him, you know. But I was surprised, but I was a bit surprised that I nearly didn't start before Marcel, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In that game, but apart from that, like I'll be honest with you, like these games, there's nothing. These are the games we have to try and win because they're the teams around us and we're as good as any of them.
Yeah.
But you've got, after saying that, you've got to go out in the pitch and win them, win the 3 points, and you know none of them is going to be a gimme. And overall, just looking at the whole game, I thought we played quite well. They got the break, they got the goal. It was sloppy. It was very sloppy, I thought. And once they got the goal, they didn't move out of what their setup at the back.
Yeah.
They, you know, no matter what we were trying to do, it wasn't working out. And then when we did get by, the keeper made a couple of great saves.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a lot of people thought, you know, had the chins on the ground and that after the match. Yes, we're frustrated with it getting beaten in a game. I don't think we should have lost, but that's football, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I was saying after, when you signed the Times, that, you know, the Arsenal of old would invariably play us off the park, and we'd be happy getting away with a 2 or 3 nil defeat. And it's a sign of how far we've come in the last few years that, you know, they were playing Burnley tactics to hold on for most of the game. Gary, what was your when we heard about the lineup, and what were your thoughts on the game overall?
Well, I mean, it was the worst bit of the day, wasn't it? I mean, it had been a great all day before that. Like, yeah. I mean, even starting at the airport from early on, and
yeah,
you know, there was a good crowd of us there, and as you say, including Jacinta and Tom. And I thought he looked great, Tommy. Yeah, and he was in great form altogether, wasn't he?
Yeah, great. He always is. So,
and Johnny was on that flight as well, wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We met Johnny.
Yeah. So yeah, look, it was great, and through the day, you know, we went to the Hog's Head and we're back up to McGee's from Wetherspoons, and
yeah,
I must say, yeah, really, really good, really good day. And then went into the game full of hope, and I would have said that we'd have had more chance of the 3 points on Thursday night than I felt than we would on Sunday.
Yeah.
But yeah, really frustrating Thursday night, because we didn't lay a glove on them, really. Like, that was the disappointing thing, you know, that we were huffing and puffing, but we couldn't really make any decent breakthrough, you know, to get the excitement levels up. You know, it was boring enough type of thing, you know. And I suppose that's they're you know, the ones where you really need to be picking up those three. As Mick says, we'd have gone ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're, you know, 5 points behind them, or, well, we were.
But yeah, because
very, very disappointing, really. But Arsenal weren't much better. You know, for even when they went to 10, we didn't really stretch them.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you're looking really at, you know, the games ahead. You know, they drew with Burnley before they played us. So, I mean, they're not exactly in the form that they're going to tear away from us if we, you know, even if we're still winning, that they're going to be pulling away. They're, you know, it's still very much open. I actually felt it was more, I thought about it more probably afterwards about the game rather than in the build-up, and I just thought how, I was trying to play it down in my head, I'd say, but afterwards I was kind of saying, Jesus, you know, how close we were if we'd beaten them. You know, it was only then I realised that, you know, fuck, we would have been, you know, really flying high. But Tony, what were your thoughts on the lineup and the game itself?
Yeah, I think we kind of heard beforehand that Matuidi was out with a calf injury or something. Yeah. So I kind of thought he played a bit defensively. I think, like the rest of us, I'd high hopes that we would get something out of the game. I was hoping that we didn't lose ground on Arsenal, because Arsenal's last few games they had a very bad January. So I was hoping we didn't lose just to stay intact with them, but we could have beaten them. I think we were better than when we were against Norwich, but there was a spark wasn't seemed to be there. As Gary said, even the last 20 minutes or so when they were down to 10 men, we didn't create a lot. A couple of balls across the 6-yard box. I mean, they celebrated like they'd won the Champions League, you know. I mean, it was, I've never seen anything like it in my life. So hopefully we can replicate that now in a week or so's time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good. It's good, I suppose, that we have such a short space of time before we play them again. And I was saying to Mick there yesterday that Brentford beat us at home, and we went to Brentford a couple of weeks ago with a real purpose that we were going to avenge that defeat. And I'd say Bruno will be in the same intention now in 2 weeks' time of going to Arsenal and getting the 3 points that we lost last Thursday.
Yeah, it was just an anticlimax, I think.
Well, one of the things that had to done about it, you think of, one of the things that frustrated me in the game was the referee. He slowed things down, and he was very slow to give free kicks, and he was, you know, he just didn't seem to. Like, I thought there were a lot of soft ones that were given against us, and
it seemed to
contribute to slowing the game down.
Normally, let stuff go. It was Michael Oliver, wasn't it? Probably one of the better ones at letting stuff go. But I think I would agree. I think at the start, he was every tackle that we put in, he was giving, well, not everyone, but soft ones he was giving to them, you know, that weren't.
Yeah.
It was nearly like you're watching a match from last season. Fellas falling to the ground and refs give them frees, you know, but that didn't help.
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, when we lose, we don't really, we never really have a lot to kind of chew over. Yeah, I suppose
Tony, it's also, don't get me wrong, like, you toss of a coin, like, you know, normal, a lot of those games, you know, and if you don't get the first goal, it can be a struggle. But, you know, it's just another, to be honest, black mark on our home record for the season. I mean, okay, we haven't played City at home yet, but of all the, we call them the top, the big six, you know, we've won points, you know.
Yeah.
15, is it?
Yeah, my top was to what's happened is we're playing far superior away from home. And there's a good reason for it, in my opinion. When they go away from home, the fans are behind them from the word go.
Yeah.
And they give them everything. You're backed up Molyneux, and there's moaning and groaning going on behind the scenes. And I think that was a big game the other night against Arsenal. But yet the atmosphere was flat in Molyneux.
Yeah.
And that was from the first whistle. You know what I mean? We were going ourselves into a great position that we could be hitting on. But fellas were, to me, fans should be kept right behind that team, because we're a big game team, we are. That would be one of my things about it. Fans have got to understand, teams are going to come to Molyneux and they're going to try and frustrate us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're talking that Gary was saying, and he was dead right, like Arsenal celebrated though they'd won, or Tony, or they celebrated that the major victory. But when you think about it, it was, and this is Wolves fans have got to understand, this is what it's, for Arsenal to come to Molyneux and beat us, this is what it means to them now.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, it wasn't. That doesn't tell you how much strides we've made as a club. And I think, but I do believe that we need to get really behind. Like at Molyneux, you probably have one end of the ground getting behind them, hopefully for the whole game.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are just sitting there and waiting for them to make a bad mistake, and actually you'll hear them getting on them. Interesting that he took yesterday's game to make the big decision to play the young fella. So he actually took the decision to play the kid in his first major game away at Tottenham in front of 62,000 supporters. Fair dues to him for doing that. But maybe he was looking to put him on at home in case it didn't go too well and it could destroy the kid, you know?
Yeah.
That's just my overall view and looking at things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in fair, you know, I try to analyse what's going on. If we didn't make that change, and he did actually say something after the game on Thursday, you know, sort of blame us not making the, you know, the right decisions. But fair dues to him, and he wasn't afraid to make it on Sunday there and throw that kid in. He was good.
Yeah, like that's what I was saying to you, Mickey, about just saying earlier on about, you know, the difference between playing Arsenal now and playing them 10 years ago or whatever in the Premier League when we were whipping boys for them. But it was one thing, actually, as you say, you know, and the worst thing I find is, like, on social media, the fans in social media, fans in inverted commas, you know, they're screaming for the likes of Kundal and you know, Marquez and all these to be thrown into the team. And I mean, they're the first to moan if the result doesn't go for us, and they're saying, you know, you shouldn't be putting these guys. Like, I mean, it actually is me sickening to read it sometimes, the way it goes on. Yeah, I think that, the atmosphere towards the night definitely wasn't, if you even go back a couple of years when the cup games and, you know, when we were doing well, we were seventh in European games. Like, it was new experience for a lot of the fans, and they were getting behind it. Whereas now, I saw criticism today of what the Spurs fans were saying, you know, about they should be beating Wolves and all this. But, you know, very few people mentioned that. We're actually gone. A lot of our social media fans are gone the same now. You know, we should be beating the likes of Burnley and Norwich in the Cup and all, you know. So the old thing about glass houses and stones, you know, we should look at ourselves, I think, before we start.
Yeah, but there's we have to accept as well that there's a level of expectancy now.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably false, really, when you think of it. Like, as I say, we've picked up very little against the top sides this at home. But people are expecting to win at home now.
Yeah. But you know, I have to say, Gary,
I think you need something early on in the game to, you know,
crowd like, going, yeah.
Some of the crowd anyway to get them going, like, you know.
But I think like with expectancy though, I mean, you know, where we are now in the league, I mean, to me it's unbelievable. I mean, you look up what's ahead of us. I mean, they're big teams. They have big revenue, big resources. They've spent fortunes on players, you know, and they were in a position in the last 10, 20 years where they could do that before all the restrictions on spending came in. And I mean, that's what we're up against, you know. And
our fans, Tony, you're bang on there, but our fans have got to understand we potentially have the great opportunity of finishing in Champions League position. And if that can't motivate you, when I go to a game, and I'd love to win them all, I know it's not going to happen. But the thing is, you get behind your team, you give them what you can, the support you can, and let's see what happens. This thing of, we'll beat these teams next week, I don't go with that.
Yeah.
Because we will be... It's some of the, we could go on and beat City, we could go on and beat Liverpool, and we could get beaten by Norwich. We've done it. That's football.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
You know what I mean? But the fans have said, just get behind you. There's only a couple of, 10, 11 games, whatever, to go. We're in a fantastic position. And just give it a little bit. Don't mind, fellas will make mistakes. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But that's my thinking about it. I've said, gone back for a couple of months now, I've never been the way I am at the moment watching Wolves. I don't get worried about them in a game. You know, usually I wouldn't get this. I don't worry like that because the balances is, the percentages is, we'll get the nod. And I just think with everybody coming back in there, we have a fantastic chance with the run in.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no doubt in my mind. And that top four is there, you know.
I wish I could say I don't worry when I'm at matches. Jesus, I spend most of the time thinking about something. The wheels are going to fall off somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
But as I said to you yesterday, you know, after the win, I said, Mick, I think we're safe now.
Yeah.
But I suppose, yeah, we've gone through the bad case. You know, as I was thinking earlier, you know, they say a week is a long time in politics, but Jesus, it's a couple of days in football, you know. I mean, from Thursday then, we went to yesterday. Mick, you had an easy trip over yesterday morning. I know we travelled together and we parted ways. I was going Birmingham, you were going Stansted, but no problems at the airports or anything, no?
No, it was the Spurs Express. You know, it was loaded with them.
Yeah.
And I felt like an alien because they were kept looking at you know, pointing.
Yeah.
Wolves top on this side of the crack. You know, the usual.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting beside a fella on the plane and talking, and he says, you're like us, you need millions to get on players. I said, you know, I'll be honest with you, I said, speak about your own club. It says, but I don't think we need. I said, we're not far away. And that's fair enough. It says, I funny Wolves, you know what I mean? I said, I'm happy with the players we're bringing through and where we're going at the minute.
Yeah.
There is an arrogance with them.
Yeah.
There is an arrogance with the bastards, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, I suppose they haven't won a hell of a lot to have that arrogance, but you know, I think it seems to be bred into some clubs over the years, and that they feel they should be. I mean, probably in 10 years' time, United fans will be the same. You know, they won't have won anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll still be thinking they should be winning everything every year. But I arrived in Birmingham and first sitting there an hour and a half to wait for the train, and then after the hour, started getting notices that there would engineering works in Wolverhampton were going on that should have been finished, and I was looking at the apps and everything, and it looked like I wasn't going to be getting out of the airport heading into New Street to watch it on telly or something. But luckily enough, it was only an hour and a half delay with the first train, so we got there and arrived, of course, in Euston, hopped on the tube, second stop, doors open, and two young cotters hop on, you know. We had company to the ground. We had a walk, for 25-minute walk from Seven Sisters down to the ground then. So that was a nice bonus, a nice surprise.
Yeah, I couldn't get over the coincidence of that happening. Like, they were on the way up from King's Cross, I think, and
yeah,
they've been in London up for the weekend. Shane had been there since Thursday, having gone to the match Thursday night as well. But yeah, to get, and then, you know, the length of these tube trains, to get on the same coach,
yeah,
the same carriage.
Yeah. I'd be back to the door, and when it opened, and I just stepped aside, and then I guess slapping Shane on the arm as he walked past me, you know. I just said, 8 million people or whatever, you know, you bump into two lads you're going to be sitting beside at the match. Yeah, so when we got there, plenty of time. Again, when we got the lineup, Kundal was the big surprise, but I think the impression I got, Mick, was that people were kind of, they were excited to see him in and what he might do, you know. Were you the same?
Yeah. Look, that's what I'm telling you about what I find with the away fans. They accept it. And my attitude, I said a couple of weeks ago, when he gave your man Totti Gomez the run.
Yeah.
You know, for him to put that kid in, he had a lot of confidence in that kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can see why he put him in, because he's actually very, very similar to Mourinho.
Yeah.
Because he's very good with the give and go, the touch. And he has a great brain. He sees a pass.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what stumped them yesterday. They had a particular idea of what Team Wolves are putting out.
Yeah.
But they had no idea about this kid.
Yeah.
And like him and Aitnuri on that side of the park absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah.
The way we moved the ball.
Yeah, the impression I get is that, and there's probably two or three more young lads there, that the hidden factor that doesn't give you the final result until you do it is putting them in with better, playing with better players and against better players. And that's how you find out how good a lad is. You know, I've watched Cundall in a few under-23 games now, and he's a good, steady lad. You know, he's not a kind of lad you'd be reefing and saying, throw him in there straight away. But I mean, watching him, as you say, Moutinho came to mind yesterday. He probably stuck to more or less around to the position he was told to play in. But it didn't turn into be a weakness in any way on the team yesterday. And considering Spurs, I mean, some of the, like, they're a big, big physical team. To see him at the end, he's been substituted literally for cramp. I mean, he ran himself into the ground. It was tremendous. As I was saying there, Dendonker, Nuno did the same with Dendonker 3-4 years ago. He had him for a few months and then he threw him in again away to Spurs, funny enough, when we won 3-1. So, great performance with a young lad yesterday. But Gary, what was your thoughts leading up to the game yesterday?
Yeah, I was, after Thursday night, I was thinking, could this be the February from hell? Do you know what I mean?
Because yeah.
I thought, what I...
Go on.
What I thought was that Spurs, having lost themselves Thursday night, that them losing two home games on the trot with a manager like Conte was going to be, if we got out of there with a draw, it was going to be as good as we could expect, you know? Yeah, I know Shane and Gareth felt Cundall was magnificent, really. He kept it simple. It seemed, you know, he got his instructions and he stuck to them and he executed everything, kept it simple, worked hard, and the whole thing. They were really, you know, hugely impressed. Yeah. It's like a new signing in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
because it's funny, I was talking to the lads on the tube and one thing, we were chatting and we were nearly of the opinion that just, you know, we haven't got a hiding in a long time in games. So since last season, and we're going to say, will this be the day and all that? And it's funny, and I was watching Match of the Day last night when I got home, and they said that, and I think it was seven games, they said we conceded two goals. We haven't conceded any more in any game, and you know, which I think is it's a great sign of how steady we've been.
One of the interesting things for me was trying to snatch a view of what was going on, keeping in touch with the game, yeah. And you know, Sky Sports News was they were going to the game very regularly, particularly in the early stages, and the beauty of it was the guy that was commentating in the background, he was positioned in the ground, you could see the line of stewards between the home and away fans,
yeah,
right. And he came on shortly after the second goal, and it was just unreal watching it on TV. Like, one side was out of anybody, right? And then the other side of the line, it was like a beehive or an anthill. The whole thing was moving, like, you know,
yeah.
And it went up and down. Like, it was brilliant just to watch it. I was thinking, God, if you were in there.
You were in there.
We weren't Gary, but we were on the flower.
I was just going to say it, Mick, you know, since how we're coming up to Easter, you know, we fell twice yesterday, one for each goal. There was this guy, and I think he was determined to fucking knock us over, because he came at the first goal, 6 minutes, like, we were only settling into him. We were standing on the steps. I don't know whether we can say that, but we were up out of the rain, so we were standing beside lads, and your man came down the steps and he jumped on Mick and into me, and I was back against the seats, and he did exactly the same. He apologised, and then after the second goal, eight minutes later, he did exactly the same thing, and we were there. But it was great. It was all in good spirits. It was great, great on a crack. Tony, what did you think the game yesterday?
I didn't. I was keeping an eye on the phone, a bit like Gary, flicking onto the update. So I saw the highlights last night. But I thought we did well. I didn't really know much about that Cundall fella.
Yeah.
Only that he was highly thought of and a good passer of the ball. But certainly, from what I saw of the game, he certainly didn't look out of place. And he put a lovely pass through to Jimenez, and Jimenez should have scored. But from what I could see on the highlights, I think it was a very well deserved result. We harassed them. The second goal, like, you could they showed it a few times on Match of the Day last night, as you probably saw, and we just harassed them. I know it was a bad kick out by the keeper, but yeah, we just took advantage of it.
Yeah, I think
it was that pressure. That was that pressure that caused it, you know?
Yeah, and I think both goals early on, it was obviously a tactic earlier on from Bruno that we go at them, because, I mean, both goals, they were both like pinball, you know, the ball, maybe two or three goals before the ball hit the net. Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, I just felt amazing. Myself and Mick were there and we were, you know, you couldn't believe the performance. Like, it was high power press. We just didn't give them a chance. Even watching the highlights last night, I thought were a bit skewed from the second half. Spurs had a couple of, the header was Salah tipped it over the bar, straight at him. He had a couple of saves, but I thought actually one or two of the chances could have very well have been offside. Even though the linesman didn't flag, thought VAR, if it did go in, VAR might have had a look and cancelled them. I mean, it's amazing in the short space of time that we've gone from being, you know, depressed and down and out to being well back in contention again. And you were saying earlier about the fans, you know, the fans were just unbelievable yesterday, the whole game. Great two goals in for a start and all that. We just, the atmosphere, the lads around where we were, there wasn't a bit of hassle. Mick, you enjoyed the day, yeah?
I did. I must say, the performance yesterday, I would say it was probably the best of the season from us. I just thought, you know, from the word go, the decision was made. We're going to put these under pressure.
Yeah.
The Spurs like to start early, get an early goal. We sent them back and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I look, and who was man of the match? I go back and Semedo was outstanding in all aspects of the game. What do you call it? The two lads at the back, Kilman made one or two little errors. There could have been Nazi, but brilliant. But Aidan O'Neill, when he had the younger lad playing, Aidan O'Neill was getting up that line and the two of them were destroying it. Now, Neves was absolutely on his game, switching the ball from side to side. Spurs didn't know where to.
Yeah.
They were one side to the other, and how quick we were. And I said, that kid, you could see him in the middle of that pitch when the switch ran. He knew where the ball was going. He has a fantastic head for football.
Yeah.
And then you look, Jimenez had probably one of his best games in a long time.
Definitely.
He
yeah.
really got it. Was into that game. And then, of course, Badan's to the... And I looked at him, and as you say, Tony, second half, you could see there was real stealing with Wolves. They were not going to concede a goal.
No.
You know what I mean? I felt that because when we had them goals up, they were trying to come at us. And some of the tackling was fantastic. Work rate, I thought, was outstanding. And then one thing which we haven't had for a while, Jimenez got tired and all of a sudden, Huang comes on.
Yeah.
What you call it? You blah on, what you call it? Trianco, you blah on the other fella, what you call him?
Silva.
Everybody, every one of those three really contributed to keeping the thing going. And I thought the three lads up from and Wang ran his legs off, but the two other two lads did a great job of holding that ball. Anytime the ball went up there, to hold it up there, played around and killed down the game. And I thought they were superb at it. And you know, I thought it was a fantastic performance. And it must go back to the manager. Positivity is there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Silva, like, I mean, you know, he's gone from being pushed off the ball to actually, I mean, he came on for the last 10 minutes or so, and I mean, he put himself about their centre-half. He didn't give him a minute any time the ball came in, and it worked. You know, we almost got a sneak the third goal the way they were playing. Yeah. But I mean, one thing that you probably won't hear mentioned, but I thought very evident yesterday when we were watching the game, was how little we got from the referee. I mean, I said to Mick, second half, 10 minutes into the second half, and a Spurs player was booked for handball. That was the first yellow card yesterday. And the first half, I think I counted four, if not five, tackles from behind that should have been punished with more than a free kick, with a yellow card. And the referee, he went over at one stage to talk to Kane or whatever about these tackles. There were at least four or five, if not more, bad tackles in the first half, and there wasn't one card issued. As I said, handball was the first one. He eventually, I'd say it must have been after an hour, that they got a forced yellow card for a bad tackle. I mean, those sort of things, and I harp on about it a lot, that they're the sort of things that bigger teams seem to get away with. You know, I say to myself, Neves will probably end up getting a yellow card for saying something, you know, and these tackles, and they were, that. I mean, to me, a difficult job for us yesterday was getting anything from there, and yet, difficult and all as it was, it was being made more difficult because Spurs were being allowed, and it's good to say it when we've come away with a win, but Spurs were allowed away with tackles yesterday that we certainly wouldn't have been allowed. If that was at Molineux and we were doing, there'd be yellow cards flying around everywhere. It was a bit of annoying. Sorry, Mick.
There was only about six minutes gone, Tony. You're right there. And the Spurs lads at the back, they went to break up that kid. It was a horrible tackle, I thought, on the young lad.
Yeah.
And then they done the same annoyed nearly. And then many times the Dents get kicked. And I think there was about five or six of those tackles.
Yeah.
Had gone one after the other from Spurs without a booking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was wrong. But look, maybe it galvanized the rest of the boys.
Yeah.
Because they were getting stuck in. But the other fella, I forgot to say it, then Duncan was by far his best campaign. Yeah. I thought he was outstanding in the pitch. But the reason I was thinking about it today, he was the main man in the midfield with Nevis. And it did five in the middle. And I think that's the way we have to go. And he, I seen him a couple of times talking to the young lad and with Oit Dowry and that, and he was giving them a great bit of attention. Yeah. And I thought maybe that's what the chap needed. You know, I'm delighted for him. He got the goal, but he was all over the place.
Yeah, he was very good. You know? He was all over the place as opposed to being all over the place normally.
Right, yeah. He was involved in the shot to enter up in the goal, and he finally tried to put the ball in the net, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He was in and around the box.
The other thing, we talking about Semedo. I think it was just at half time, they got a corner, and won a fantastic. Got up, he didn't win the ball, but he got up with Kane.
Yeah.
Kane had to put that in. We were going in 2-1 there, 2-1 up, instead of 2-0 up.
Yeah.
But as I said to you there, Tony, yesterday, he's a fantastic man, Mark, and his pace and his reading of the game to me.
Yeah.
We got him for the snip of 30 million.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind, he's fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
To go back to what you were saying there, Tony, about getting everything. And I was talking to a sports fella last night, he was from London, and he was on about it, and he was just talking about Harry Kane, and he just said, you know what? He said, he gets away with murder.
Yeah.
You know, he gets free kicks, should never be in. I said, he got one just after half time. Yeah. Should never be in.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they got a few, there were two or three actually on their left, just outside the referee. So Nevis made a great tackle, and your man fell over and he got a free kick. You know, it was they were on the break. Nevis timed it perfectly, came in, clipped the ball away, and he clipped the ball, as momentum carried him in, but the ball was gone, and the ref, they were very dubious decisions, to say the least. But anyway, as you say, we're near time is nearly up. We got a fantastic win, onwards and upwards.
That's the third away win against Spurs.
Yeah.
On the trot.
It's fantastic. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, lads, because we're definitely running out of time here, so see you all on Sunday.
Sunday.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.